Hello again, this is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley. It's an exciting time. This time of year, we see all the birds and the little varmints coming out of the ground and the birds flying and being very busy with their nests and what's in the nest. And we see the babies, the baby calves from the cows, and we see all sorts of things going on. The deer are having their babies and the elk are having their babies. And it's a whole new, fresh life going on all around us in this part of the country. It's so beautiful and it's so wonderful. But there's more to the story than just that. It's nice to see that sort of thing going. But Jesus said this. The disciples had gone to Jesus and they had said, "Would you please teach us how to pray?" And Jesus said, "I can teach you that. Now, here is a good plan. Here is a good way of putting together your prayer. The model for prayer is this." Jesus said, "Say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever and ever. Amen." Now, you may say very quickly, what's that got to do with Easter? Well, we've gone past Easter now, but I want to show you some things out of the Lord's Prayer that Jesus was saying. In the first verse, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed, holy and reverenced," in other words, "be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Now, the will of God is that no one shall perish, but all shall have everlasting life. That is the will of God. Man, for some reason, chooses not to turn himself towards God, but turns his back on God and looks away from godly things and will have nothing to do with the things of God because they're so pure, they're so right, and they are life. But for some reason, man has another way of thinking. He thinks he can produce his own life. He can reintroduce life into a dead soul. And he thinks that he can, by hard work or by works, he shall be saved. And the Bible doesn't say that at all. So we come to a place where we are looking and have looked rather hard at the things that Jesus was saying in the Lord's Prayer that he enacted through the rest of his life. He was talking to his Father. He often talked to his Father. Some of the words he said were these. He said, "Father, I am glad that you hear my prayer. I'm glad, I'm happy, I'm excited, I'm ecstatic that you always hear my prayers. I want to say this to you. If you've been born again, that is trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and friend, then you know that God always hears your prayers. Now, they may not be answered the way you want them to be answered, but he always hears your prayer." Listen to Jesus. He couples this, "Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come." Well, he was going to introduce this new kingdom. And yet he says, "Thy will be done." The way that Jesus was to introduce this new kingdom into the world was God's way, not man's way. If man's way had been anything, it would have been that when Pilate was talking to him at Gabbatha, and was examining him with a scourge and torturing him, and the soldiers were beating him and so on, he could have called 10,000 angels, and those angels would have come, and those angels would have obliterated the people around Pilate, and there would be no salvation, which is absolutely of God. Now, notice something, please, in this prayer. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is what's going to happen. God is going to rule this world. Jesus is going to come as the ruler. But he's not going to come as so many people seem to think, that sort of the chum of anyone that wants to be his friend. He's going to come with healing in his wings, but he's going to come with power and might and a sword. And Jesus will come. He will bring judgment. Now, not many Christians want to hear this. So if you don't want to hear, don't turn us off. Just plug your ears for a moment. You see, Jesus has said that he will come and judge the quick and the dead. Those that are alive and those that are dead will be judged. Is there a third party in that? I think not. Either you're dead or you are alive. And whichever way it goes, you're going to be judged. Every word of your mouth is uttered, Jesus says, will be taken into consideration, and you will give an answer for it. And when you've blasphemed the name of God, you will give an answer for that. And when you've told lies, you will hear those lies repeated in eternity. You will hear God's judgment upon those lies. The wonderful thing for the Christian is that Jesus has taken away our sin, because he bore in his body on the tree, on the cross, all the sins of all of us. Now, I was reading something somewhere some years back, and a fellow was explaining that Jesus couldn't possibly have hung by his hands and by his feet, because the very weight of his body would have ripped the flesh, ripped it in such a way that the nails would have pulled through and split his hands wide open. The same with his feet. Well, yes, that's true. But don't forget that Jesus said the things that are impossible with man are possible with God. Don't forget that God had a plan, and by the prints of the nails, he revealed that he was back from the dead. Now, this is hallelujah chorus time, because we've gone through Easter and we've sung with all our hearts, Christ is risen today. Hallelujah! What a praise this must bring. All of heaven should be shouting. All of earth should be reminded. And the people in the earth should be rejoicing in the fact that Jesus came back from the dead. There is no other person that has ever done this. And so we find the Lord Jesus resurrected in such a magnificent way. I want to share with you very briefly some of the things that I have discovered in the Word of God. Now, I read this Easter again in the church where I attend. Someone said to me, I've never heard this scripture before. I don't know why people haven't heard it. But understand, please, that our times are in his hand. Let's go into the Gospel of John and chapter 21. Understand the words. Jesus is speaking, and he is saying, truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, speaking to Peter in particular, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will gird you and bring you to where you do not wish to go. Now this, Jesus said, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to Peter, follow me. Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, and one who also had leaned his back on the bosom of Jesus at the supper said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? So Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? Jesus said to him, If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. In other words, mind your own business. I deal with everyone individually. Therefore, the saying went out among the brethren that that disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say that he would not die, but only if I want him to remain until I come. What is that up to do with you? Why don't you mind your own business? I'm talking to you. One of the things that we do is we look across the congregation and say, in effect, I am as good or I am better than that person. I serve the Lord. If we're very uncareful, we will end up saying with the hypocrites, I am glad that I am not as this man, for I give my tithes and I'm constantly in prayer. Look at me, I'm a spiritual giant. Wouldn't we all like to be spiritual giants, but we find that we're not. And that is a conundrum that is difficult for us to understand or even accept. Jesus simply said to Peter, follow me. And then he said to the one that leaned on his breast, follow me. The word, the challenge was exactly the same. However, the circumstances were vastly different. And it's nothing to do with you why God blesses somebody and doesn't bless you. In the same way, God will give you blessings. Just accept what he gives. To you, it may be a small thing. To others, it will make them jealous. And we have to deal with this jealousy. Therefore, this saying went out among the brethren that that disciple would not die. What a stupid thing to say or even indicate. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but only, if I want him to remain until I come, mind your own business. That's nothing to do with you. This is how I'm going to deal with that man. And I'm going to deal with him the way I want him dealt with. And he'll have no say in the matter. Now this is the disciple who is testifying to these things and wrote these things. And we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they were written in detail, I suppose that even the world itself would not contain the books that would be written. Now, John is saying, I want you to understand that Jesus did much more than I'm recording. And I'm telling you the truth. And I'm making sure that you understand that these things that I'm saying are absolutely of God in heaven. Well, we have to go on into the next piece of the word. If you would turn your pages over into the Gospel of Matthew, you'll discover at the end of the Gospel of Matthew how it is that the Lord Jesus is going up into heaven. I don't understand why this is a difficulty to anybody, but some people have difficulties where no difficulties exist. But Jesus was very sure of himself. The church is to worship and to work. The 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. This is the last chapter, 17th verse. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. If you turn the pages again into the Gospel of Luke, the last chapter of Luke, you will hear the Lord Jesus saying more or less the same thing. But there is something else to take into your mind. Jesus has been speaking, and he said in verse 44 of chapter 24, the Lord Jesus said this, he said, "These are the words that I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." Then he opened to he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things." Now listen to this verse 49. "Behold, I send you the promise of the Father, whom you prayed to. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." All power, said Jesus, is given unto me. Remember that. And I'll give you that power. I'll give it to you so that you can have the power of God poured out into your life. He led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Hey, that's remarkable. Jesus is lifted up and taken up into heaven. Later we read that the Lord Jesus, when he is taken up into heaven, he sits upon the right hand of the Father, and they judge this world and come to this world and cause this world to understand that Jesus has all power. Very important things we've read. Very important things we have looked at. So important, because now we are resurrected with Jesus. The Apostle Paul says that Jesus was the firstborn among many brethren. There are not many people, when you consider the population of the world since the time of Christ, the 2,000 some years that have taken place, it's not possible for us to understand how many people, and it's a small amount compared with the millions or billions of people that have lived in that time. It's an important thing that we understand that God has chosen us to follow him all the days of our lives. It is for us to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It is our honor. It is our privilege that the great shepherd of the sheep reached down, picked us up, put our feet upon the solid rock, put a new song in our mouth, and said, "Here's life, live it." So many Christians are mumbling and grumbling and bumbling around saying, "Oh dear, poor me." I am sick of such Christians. We should be rejoicing, and the joy of the Lord should fill our hearts and fill our minds and fill our souls. Somewhere there's been a dilution of the love of God, and people aren't understanding. Yet love must be our motivation. In verse 15 of chapter 21 of the Gospel of John, we read that Jesus was providing a motivation. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And he said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Tend my lambs." He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Peter said unto him, Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Jesus said to him, Peter, shepherd my sheep. Jesus said to Peter the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he asked him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know I love you. You know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. Love is the motivation. Let's look at this very quickly and understand what Jesus was saying, at least a little. At the very beginning, Peter had denied his Lord three times. On the third time, the cockerel crowed, and Peter ran out and wept bitterly. Now, we read the story of the crucifixion, and we read that Jesus said, forgive trespasses that people trespass against you. For in the same manner that you forgive, totally, absolutely, completely forgive, in the same way that you forgive others, so God will forgive you. And I know this doesn't tend to be very nice for some people, because we don't like to think that anything is withheld from us and all the blessings are ours and none of the gory details of our past are resurrected as well. But there is something for us to remember. Peter denied the Lord Jesus three times. If you remember, it was Judas Iscariot that had denied his Lord and had betrayed his Lord. And he betrayed his Lord with a kiss. It was phony love. Phony love. Make sure your love for the Lord Jesus is pure. Make sure that it's absolute. Make sure that you are loving him like Mary loved him, with tears and wiping his feet with your hair and pouring expensive ointment upon his head. Make sure that you love Jesus so much that you will give him all your life, the rest of it, whether it be a year, a month, a day, or whether it be 50 years. It doesn't matter, but will you give to him the joy of your service? And don't deviate, don't wander off to the left or the right, but keep your eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face, so that the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory, his grace, and keep that in the center of your focus. It's a great challenge to live for Jesus, but live it. Well, now, three times he denied him. Three times Jesus says to him, in front of all the other disciples, Judas having hung himself, and the only difference between Judas and Peter was this. Judas hung himself and Peter wept bitterly. When the tears of contrition fill your eyes and your heart is breaking from the experience of life, when the tears are pouring down your cheek, remember, God uses those tears to wash your eyes that you may see God and see him clearly in the experience that you're going through and you are caught in. And remember, he has loved you with an everlasting love. Well, anyway, he says three times to Peter, feed my lambs, tend my sheep. And then he says, make sure you lead the sheep. Get on with the growth. Peter finishes, I think, the first epistle of Peter. He ends up by saying, grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You grow, he says to the people that are reading his letter. You grow. I had to learn it the hard way by denying Jesus. But you grow. You grow. And so we have this thing in front of us that we need to think about seriously. Jesus ascended up into the heavens, there isn't time for me to go into how he ascended and all that sort of thing. But this is the time for me to say, will you so love Jesus? Will you so follow Jesus as Peter was told to? Oh, dear friend, please. It's the time. The time has come to consider your walk with Jesus. Let's bow in prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, we humbly come in front of you. Thank you for washing us clean. Clean every part of us. We thank you for that. And we thank you for the joy of your salvation and the joy of your presence day by day by day. Will you bless everyone that loves you? Gather the saints of Jesus close to you and keep us all in perfect peace. Now we ask these things in Jesus' name, for his sake and glory and honor. Amen. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you. Goodbye.